Granada!
This is Brock and Salk.
Why did Hot Pockets not evolve further?
Why not what?
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a venom.
My body won't perform.
And 710sports.com.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com. Today is Wednesday. We'll be here today. We'll be here tomorrow. We'll be here Friday. And then we'll be on the podcast. Mm-hmm. You can catch us on the interwebs after that, I'll tell you what. So we will make the announcement later today, or tomorrow, excuse me. Tomorrow, we will introduce you to our replacements here from 7 to 10. So we will do that tomorrow. Details to come. You'll hear a little bit of information leading up to
do
that,
I know
I promise.
Them? Do I know any of them?
You know, I don't want to give anything away. That just seems unfair.
I got you.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair. It won't be Luke Wilson. It sounds like he's got a job.
Are you sure?
I mean, I'm not sure, but he sounds like he's got a job with the Seahawks, at least for now. He's going to come here and play a little tight end.
Shock you yesterday when you saw that news? And by the way, did you hear who broke the news on Danny, Dave, and Moore via Twitter yesterday?
Via Twitter?
Via Twitter yesterday.
Adam Kaplan
break
this news?
Were you listening at 5:53 yesterday on Danny, Dave, and Moore when one of the four of them on their show broke in and said, whoa, we got some breaking news here on Twitter. Wyman. I mean,
what?
Yes. Yes, Wyman was like, looks like
Wyman
Nick
sits on the throne of lies.
Well,
yes. What is he doing
tweet.
On Twitter?
What do you mean?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
And Jess is like, let me look. Yeah, that's a verified. Yep, that's Schefter's account. That is Schefter's account. And as you can imagine, you know, they didn't know Luke Wilson was returning at that time. They only knew that Nick Vinette, also one of their favorites, was moving out the door.
Right.
So a little bit of bump.
That's a trade up for the afternoon show, though, right? Danny, Dave, and Moore, they're excited about that swap like Vinette. Luke Wilson's their boy, right?
I would have to imagine. And I think this was a reminder and should be a reminder to all you out there of how this crew, every single day when the lights are on at that facility down in Renton, are evaluating their team. Where they sit, fielding phone calls, can they add? Can they add value? What does that look like? And when the Pittsburgh Steelers, Vance McDonald, gets hurt in San Francisco and they have a need and Kevin Colbert, the GM, calls John Schneider and they're both in country guy voice and say, hey, that Nick Vinette, you know, can you part with him for a fifth?
Got a tight end, brother.
Can you part with him for a fifth? I think I can get you a fifth for Nick Vinette. And John calls his pro personnel people and says, hey, Luke Wilson signed anywhere yet?
Right.
Because Luke and Nick are basically the same player.
Yep. Flautist, man. It's one of the great techno flutes of all time. Techno Thursday. Can you do Techno Thursday with only one of the two, though? Because when Luke exited, Techno Thursday ended.
Can't you picture Fant?
Can you picture
Fant in them little short shorts jumping into the bucket?
I can, actually. I can picture that. Yeah, he could jump right into that bucket, don't you think?
Was Uncle Will a part of those festivities?
No, that all predated him.
Creature Man, Jordan Ruse.
Yeah, was he on the practice squad? What's his deal? Is he on the practice squad still, kind of hanging out?
Yeah, I think so.
I still like to call him Biker Gandalf. So, yeah. There's a bunch of different possibilities. I got to tell you, we've spent 3 minutes here on the return of a guy that I don't think is a particularly great football player and the loss of a guy who's not either.
Oh.
I only have so much in my bag to talk about Luke Wilson and Nick Vinette, a couple of very similar tight ends who will back up to backup, and Luke Wilson hasn't been in the league in 6 weeks.
You don't like my hot take of this show's once again they're going for it?
Well, no, I don't think I do. I think this is honestly...
Dude, they're all in, bro. They brought back Luke Wilson. Let's go.
This is as cheap a way to pick up a fifth-round
pick as you
can find.
Do you remember his catch against the Packers in 2015?
Huge catch.
Game.
Yes, I do remember that. It was 5 years ago.
How can you forget this guy?
That was a really long time ago that he made that catch for the two-point conversion, which, by the way, is a miracle he caught it because Luke's got hands of stone.
Luke Wilson's a good dude.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'm not going to let
say these
disparaging things. Luke Wilson.
Smirch his name.
Good dude. Better
Great dude.
Better,
funny guy.
Better blocker.
Landing,
better blocker than Nick Vinette.
Likes to rip on Jim.
It's not to be awkward, but Jim, it's my understanding that you don't have credentials, so... I guess I'm just going to have to answer questions from Danny and Dave today.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a good guy to have around.
Sherman revoked his credentials.
I remember that.
Poor Jim.
Yes. No, Luke's got a lot to say.
Did you take the time to watch Hard Knocks with the Raiders at all?
I have not seen a minute other than I did see Luke on a boat with his dad for one flash. That's all I saw. Hair's back. He looks great. The Luke we know. That's all I know. And I did. It was with no audio, so... I just saw him in the background.
Yeah, so there you go. The guy who once bought dessert for everybody in the media on his way out the door.
You're giving this way, yeah, thank you, short shrift.
What, I mean, what do you mean?
Well, not only as a player, is he going to be an upgrade as a blocker?
Huge upgrade.
Maybe a little less.
I mean, he's such a big upgrade, the league hasn't wanted him yet this year.
But, well, in this system, which he's not played in, but I think he's going to be able to come in and be just fine. But you remember that he was the one when he left, when he was in Detroit, before they played the Seahawks. And the Seahawks were partying, and he was not allowed to have music in his locker room. Was super bitter. He did send all of the Seattle media, not just the afternoon guys. He sent them cakes, right? Then he sent them like
nothing bun cakes.
That's exactly right. And that
is that
led,
your favorite place? Is that the place you love?
Nothing bun cakes are very, very good. I highly recommend those. Yes. But then that led to a wonderful exchange, Mike, that really furthered your relationship with one Doug Baldwin.
Uh-huh. Do you think that when you're long gone and done playing that you'll send the
absolutely
media?
Not. Absolutely not.
What happened to us, man? What happened to us?
You know, to be completely honest, you guys are my favorite, though. There's another group, you know, it's a quarterback and a know-it-all. I don't really like those guys.
I think that laugh track is just the best part of that.
They're forcing laughter. I mean, they're desperately trying to find Doug funny. There it is.
Go on.
Please. Tell us more, Doug.
On Friday, can we just play that for 3 straight hours? No. The laugh track of you and I?
There it is.
Go on.
Well, if you like that kind of humor, man, I'll tell you what. Our podcast is going to be for you. Text podcast to 710-710. Text podcast to 710-710. And after Friday, you'll continue to be united with us. Our first podcast, does it drop? Is that what our podcasts do? They drop?
Yeah, they drop.
It will drop Wednesday. So a week from today, Brock, our first podcast will drop.
Yes, it will. Are you prepared for this?
I think I am.
Okay, good.
Are we going to have a good guest for it? We had a conversation about who our first guest would be. What do you think? We have to reach out?
Yeah.
Is it as easy to get guests for a podcast, or is it harder?
Oh, it's easier.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's much harder.
Mike, some of these, we're going to tape at like 1 in the morning. Some we're going to tape
at 1 in the morning?
Yeah, because your window is so small.
Yep.
That makes sense. But is the problem with getting guests generally a window issue, or is it
yeah,
like...
it's a window
is it that I don't want to go on...
Or it's that you're a quarterback and a know-it-all,
right.
And then they just won't
talk.
That
could be a problem, too. Will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Will you rank for me quickly the 4 parts of the Seahawks game so far? They're passing offense, rushing offense, passing defense, rushing defense.
Okay.
Which is first, second, third, fourth for this team so far?
For me, I would say their rushing offense is 4th on that list. It gets a certificate of participation with I expected going into this season with the personnel they have, Mike. I've got they're averaging 4.0 yards per carry as a team, just as a group effort. That's in the bottom 12 of the league. So to me, you are built to run the ball, and that is the most lacking.
Bottom 12.
And by the way, you also
15th
fumbled
in rushing yards overall.
Yes, and you fumbled 4 times.
Right.
So I would put that 4th.
I would
put passing offense probably first. I think Russell Wilson's playing the best he's ever played. Tyler Lockett is on pace for a 100-yard season. Will Disley's had a tremendous year. They were awesome in Pittsburgh, kept them a little bit in the game this last weekend. So I would probably put passing offense first. I'd put rushing defense last. I'd put pass defense right there. Rushing offense last. I'd put pass defense.
Yeah, it's right there. They're, by the way, 4th in the league in defending the run. I mean, arguably, that has actually been the best thing they've done.
They just couldn't tackle Kamara, but yes.
But other than that, I mean, they've really done a good job with that. And really, most of the Kamara plays were not on rushing plays. They were on screen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've really probably done that the best of all. But it is fascinating that I think almost anybody would look at this and rank rushing offense pretty much last and passing offense either first or second.
Yep.
It leads to this Danny O'Neill quote from over the weekend. Did you read Danny's story from, I think it was from yesterday, at 710sports.com? It's a good read. And he says, the first line says, Pete Carroll's coaching the team he wishes he had instead of the one he's currently in charge of. Are they actually doing the things they're supposed, like, they've designed this whole thing to run, but yet they're only having success throwing the ball. And by the way, they didn't really bring in the kind of weaponry or types of offensive linemen you would want if throwing the ball was really your goal.
That's
a big concern, right?
Well, there's a lot of noise on the outside, and that's been kind of, been barking for the last year plus. And oh, by the way, you're also paying your quarterback $35.5 million right? So I think that those are often tied together in that argument.
I'm glad that they're passing the ball well. I am concerned that they're not rushing the ball, and I think that's entirely on your offensive line, and I think that is going to end up being the single biggest thing they've got to figure out this season. Right now it's 7:10. Time for Need to Know.
Need to Know. The voice of Seattle sports. Brought to you by Dubin Law Group. Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, big news in Seattle for Luke Wilson fans. Sounds like he will be returning to the Seahawks after they traded tight end Nick Vinette to Pittsburgh for a 2020 fifth-round pick. Vinette really never got on track here in Seattle. He's been okay. He's had a couple of decent catches. Never been a great blocker. Never been a consistent catcher of the football. And so a third-round pick from a few years ago ends up being shipped off near the end of his tenure here for a fifth. I was a little surprised he even ended up making the team this year. I think if Ed Dixon had been healthy, he might have been cut. And so to get anything back for him is probably a good deal. As for Luke Wilson, you know, you got to temper the excitement. It's cool to have the personality back here in Seattle. And sometimes guys have come back here and outperformed the way they do in the rest of the league. Certainly Byron Maxwell was the best example of that. But don't forget, the entire league has seen Wilson out there for the last few weeks and said thanks, but no thanks. We'll see if he's able to contribute once he gets it.
Yeah, I think a couple more things to add on to that is this now gives the Seahawks 10 picks going into next year's draft. A bunch of compensatory picks, a couple second rounds, and more than likely this will be an upper fifth round pick coming from the Steelers. So you do get some value for him. And you've also got Ed Dixon coming back in about 6 weeks. He is on that injured reserve, able to come back week 9 of the season. So, yeah, and, oh, by the way, your guy Jacob Hollister on practice squad, too. So there still are some options. Pittsburgh Steelers had a need. John Schneider likes to do deals. Let's hope that this isn't the last one before the trade deadline, too, because I think this team could use a little help in a few spots.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole's a lot better than the Mariners are, in case you were wondering. He was just filthy last night. Dominated them as they lose 3-0, but there was some good news to take out of it. Not in the offensive side, but certainly pitching against a significantly better lineup. I thought Justin Dunn looked very good in his 2 scoreless innings. Nice to see him finally do that. His first 2 have been just okay. I mean, he got clobbered in the first one. Second inning, second time he was just okay. But yesterday I thought he looked very good. And then Tommy Malone has been the surprise of this year. He's this year's version of Wade LeBlanc. And that's a guy who you're probably going to bring back next year, right? Based on what he did, he's cheap, he's been valuable, he's had a very successful season as a lefty. Yeah, you generally have to use an opener with him, but I think he's acquitted himself quite well. So some nice stuff there from the Mariners pitchers. And then congrats to the Graz. He throws out the first pitch yesterday. Brock, you've done it. Now the Graz has done it. Mm. It seems like an incredible honor and a nerve-wracking experience.
Pretty cool deal. Is Gerrit Cole a free agent after this season?
Believe he is.
I believe he is.
Going to get paid.
That man's making himself some money. That was his 15th consecutive win last night, a franchise record. Those were 316 strikeouts in a season now. That is also a Houston Astros record. And there's only a few guys he looks up to in baseball in a single season as far as strikeouts go. That'd be Nolan Ryan, and that would be the former big unit himself, Randy Johnson. That guy is elite. Be very curious what this market does. Market has not given, you know, some of those pitchers some of the long deals they did a decade ago. That guy's going to command an immense amount of money, and what a talent he is.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, it's another Washington Wednesday at 8:30. Brock will be telling you what he's hearing around the league. But he's got the game this weekend. How about that? The number 17 Huskies hosting number 21 USC, a battle of top 25 teams here in Seattle. A 12:30 start, as I mentioned, on Saturday. And a good test. USC's not a great team, but they're a good quality opponent. And this will be the next test to see if the Huskies have put behind them whatever it was that occurred against Cal. Was it the weather? Was it the defense that Cal played? Were they just off? Was it a bad day? Or have they grown since then? Is Bush Hamden the problem? All those things, mm-hmm. I think we'll start to really get an answer to this Saturday at home.
Yeah, one thing is strikingly different as we do sit here on a Wednesday. One team is real healthy and one team is not. Sivan Ahmed missed last game. He is the only starter to miss a start the first month of the season, the first 4 games out. That's pretty remarkable. USC is on a third-string quarterback, has got corners out, has got linebackers out, has got lineman out, and he's got a bunch of injuries throughout their roster. So a very healthy, high-flying team that's playing their best ball will welcome in still, you know, as far as talent goes, at the very, very top end, still an elite, talented team with some receivers. They're going to play on Sunday. Really good matchup to watch.
All right, 3 things you need to know. We'll do that a few more times. You will hear that, of course, tomorrow. and then on Friday. Wow. And then this new show will take over. We'll have some announcements for you guys tomorrow. Seriously, we would like to have you stay with us. We will be doing a podcast. We will be doing some regular segments on the station as well. So we're not going anywhere. We just won't be doing this show regularly every morning. So please come join us. Come be a part of the podcast. Text podcast to 710-710. You'll get the information back. It'll bounce back. Then you write yes. And then you get a link where you got to click on the link and then click on subscribe. But then you'll get it downloaded every single week right to your smartphone automatically every Wednesday morning. Start that process by texting podcast to 710-710. And we'll talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Saul.
It's a four-way battle, and there's only going to be three spots. Somebody has to go.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor, John Clayton.
Presented by Infinity of Tacoma at 5.
They scored 30 points a game. They're the best running team in football.
Plus, a wild card.
If you could have two attributes of animals, what attributes would you choose?
The girth of a gorilla and the face of a lion.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
All right, big changes at the tight end position, sort of. I mean, two guys that are kind of similar to each other. Nick Vinette out, Luke Wilson in. What do we think?
Smart move. I mean, again, because, with Wilson being out there the last couple weeks since being cut by Oakland, it opened up the door that now you can get value for Nick Vinette, and you're 4 weeks closer to getting if you need Ed Dixon. So, no, I think it's smart. And, of course, you still have Jacob Hollister. So what you had was a little bit of an excess if you get Wilson back, which they did, and now you get a fifth-round pick, which, it was the last year of his contract for Vinette. Vinette had done a pretty good job, but he'd been beaten out by Will Disley. And so, that was a very smart move by John Snyder.
Anybody else out on the street, like Luke Wilson, that this team could sign and more than likely activate and have in a game? Isn't that kind of remarkable when you think about it?
Yeah.
Like, he's been sitting out there for the last month since he got cut. Nobody else has signed him. And then here he goes. He may be actually playing this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Deshaun Shedd would probably be the one that you would think of because you can play him at slot corner. You can play him into safety. So he would be one that I think would always be on the back of John Snyder's mind.
When is the trade deadline?
Week 8.
And do we think we're going to see more of these trades?
Yeah.
Really?
No doubt. I mean, we're already up to 91 trades so far. And so it looks like there's going to be over 100 trades, which would be, I think that would be a record.
Wow.
So, it's going to be constant. And as you get closer to the trade deadline, we'll see how many more. But, no, I think you'll see more.
What has changed? Why are we seeing more trades? Is it something to do with the CBA? Is it have to do with teams that are sort of tanking or players that want out of their spots? I mean, why do we see more trades now?
Well, what it is that more general managers, particularly the younger general managers, are taking a look and saying, okay, where is this draft choice in our whole long-term plans? Whether it's a first-round pick, you're in year three, year four, and it's like, okay, are we going to re-sign them? What are we going to do? And so more guys that have been drafted are getting traded than ever before because, if you're not going to be able to keep them past 4 years and you want, he's not in the plans, and then you can get some value for him. And what you have, like, for example, Bill Belichick is the best in football as being the most active because what you realize in the new CBA, which is 2011, what happened is that you get less time with the player. And so it literally takes about 3 years to equal the amount of time in meetings and practices and all that you had before. And so that's why Bill Belichick is the most active in trying to pick up draft choices from other teams that are in their third and fourth year, and if you keep them, you keep them. If not, you give compensatory picks.
You know what else you notice? Salky and I did a little Clayton-esque work this morning on a database, looking back at that draft class. You know what else you notice, John?
What's that?
There's just some years where, and you say this all the time about certain draft classes in total. That's a bad draft class. And that year where Vinette was drafted, C.J. Procise, Riso Diambo, Nick Vinette, you got three late third rounders. Yeah, they were late third rounders. And you kind of start to look at the draft and go, geez, did you get enough out of that? Well, there's not a whole lot around that. I mean, you start to kind of piece these drafts together, and there's just some years there's a lot more hits than other years. Huh?
Yeah, 2013 was bad, 2015 was bad, and we're starting to see 2016 being a little thin too, because, I mean, as of right now, just not looking at the database, but I think there's 107 draft choices still with their teams, and that includes about 17 guys that are fifth-year options. So that means there's only like 90 non-first-round picks still with their teams, and this is in year four.
Hey, what's going on with Cam Newton? Is this going to be a Liz Frank injury?
honestly, I talked to them yesterday, and I don't think it is. I mean, it's a midfoot sprain that because you know he hasn't visited Dr. Richard Anderson yet, and Anderson's the Liz Frank doctor, and so the fact that he hasn't visited him, and from what I heard from the Panthers, I mean, it's going to keep him out a couple weeks. There's no doubt about it. But it's not a Liz Frank, because if it's a Liz Frank, only two bad things can happen. I mean, you basically sit out the rest of the season, or sit out, you know, 7-8 weeks, and hope it heals. Or what you do is that you have surgery, and then you're definitely out for the season. So I don't think it's a Liz Frank. I think it's just a midfoot sprain.
Got about 4 weeks or so until that trade deadline. What are the odds the Seahawks use one of these 10 draft picks they have in next April's draft to make a move?
Oh, I think it's always a possibility. I mean, you know, you saw they used the third round pick to get Jadeveon Clowney. It's just a matter with injuries and what needs they may have, and injuries play more into it, because I think, you know, they realize it's a deep team and it's not like they're, you know, needing to get something right now. But he's always going to be looking, John Snyder, to see what he can try to acquire.
You think we're going to see more from Ziggy Ansah this weekend?
Have to. Didn't see enough of him on Sunday. I mean, he had 19 plays, no sacks, no pressures, no tackles. And so, yeah, I think you'll see more of him.
I hope so. I mean, you know, we really made a big deal out of that. I mean, thank God they at least traded for Jadeveon Clowney, who didn't have a great day on Sunday. But at least I spotted him.
He's been a factor.
I mean, what we saw from Ziggy was downright scary. If that's all he's got, John, we got a big problem on our hands here.
Yeah, but again, it's one game. It's one game, and he had no training camp.
Fair, I mean, but it's the only game we've had a chance to see.
Jadeveon came out with absolutely no camp. I mean, at least this guy, Ziggy's been here since April, training, running, conditioning, doing drills, and had had some reps, John, and then the groin, and then came back. I mean, Clowney came on straight from the streets in that first game, made a significant impact. Ziggy did nothing.
No.
Absolutely.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
But also understand that Clowney wasn't fighting an injury. I mean, he didn't, you know, because now you get two injuries that were there for Ziggy, because, you know, he's coming off the shoulder and he had the groin injury.
You know what you get to fight, John? Only three more days of this. Like, three more days. That's all you got. You got three more wild cards from Howdy to answer.
Wow.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton.
Yes.
Who was your best friend when you were 9 years old, and what is he doing now?
Pat O'Malley, and he was a lawyer, and I think he got out of the law business and just started to, work in some factory-type stuff and all that. I mean, he's down in the Bay Area, so Pat O'Malley was...
Hold on. Let me just jump in here for a second. He was a lawyer, and now he works in a factory?
Yeah.
This is an odd career decision.
That's a strange
career path.
Mm-hmm.
Does he own a factory, or does he do like a work? Like he's
he got in some trouble. You see, he got in some trouble. Now he's
white collar criminal.
No, not at all. We may grow up in a bad area, but we never got arrested.
Okay,
Pat O'Malley.
So he was a lawyer, and now he is a factory worker.
Yeah, in the Bay Area.
Very cool. John, it's always a pleasure. You never know what we're going to get out of the wild card, and it always never ceases to surprise me. So thank you.
Thank you, JC.
We will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there you go. There's John Clayton with us every day at 7:15. That surprised you at all?
How do you know that, Howdy? Did you listen to him talking about Pat O'Malley yesterday or something?
I'm always curious.
Howdy, how did you know when he was 9 years old? You did some digging or something, or you heard something somewhere.
I was just very, very curious, Brock.
Okay, well, you got two wild cards left, Howdy. That's it. I hope
text message. I hope the ripping on Ziggy is being documented for your podcast days to own up to. Look, I'm not ripping on the guy. I'm just surprised that, you know, he did zero. He did nothing. He was invisible.
Correct.
On Sunday.
Yes.
That can't happen for this team to be what we want them to be.
No. In fact, Jaren Reed, Clowney, Ziggy Ansah, you know, you were asking me to rank the passing offense and run offense, pass defense, run defense. If that pass defense has any chance over the course of the season, and by the way, going to have matchups with San Francisco and the Rams that are two of the better and more efficient teams and I think great game planners. Those three guys have to wreck a game plan. They just have to be difference makers for that defense. And, yeah, Ziggy, at least the first 19 snaps, nowhere close. And Jaren missing the first 6 weeks, a bit of a bummer, though you will get him back, and he's got to be a big-time factor too.
All right, good stuff. All right, coming up, Brock, maybe for the last time, which is better? Will this be the last time? Well, which is better, make its way to the podcast?
I think it will.
Think it will?
I think it should.
Every week?
Nah, maybe once a month.
Once a month. Something like that. Yep. All right, this meeting we have today where we discuss the podcast is going to be very important. Because
what's in, what's out.
We don't have a clue what we're doing or how this thing is going to go. Which is better is definitely next. I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, we're going to get you guys on the horn. We get some questions for you guys at 8 o'clock. And then do we have a guest coming up later in the show today?
Yeah, that'd be Gambo, John
Gambo. We're not talking to Gambo on this show.
Oh, heck yes, we are.
What does he even have left to say? His team is awful. Their fan base is worse. Like, what is Gambo even going to come on here for?
He believes the Cardinals are better than the Seahawks.
Oh, he does.
Maybe he doesn't, but I'm going to say he does, and Gambo is a hoot. He's going to join us at 9.
Gambo will join us at 9 o'clock. That's always entertaining from our sister station down in Arizona. But right now, time for our favorite game show, which is better. All right, which is better? Groz's first pitch last night, which you saw the video of, or Brock's first pitch from a few years ago?
Groz's. I got to throw it to Seth Smith.
He threw it to Donnie Walton?
Donnie Walton of the Walton family. Yep. And it's a Groz, for crying out loud.
He didn't really...
wearing 2-9 on the back.
Did you think he would ham it up more?
Well, there were 11,000 people there, Mike.
It's true. There's only so much you can do.
And he was very nervous.
Still, I would have expected... I mean, the Groz of all people. Like, right. I would have expected him to come out with mustard all over his mouth or something like he did in the hot dog commercial.
Yep.
But no, he just kind of tossed it in there. Mm-hmm. Good job. Good job by the Groz yesterday.
You got it near the plate.
Yes.
You want to get it within the plate.
Yep.
And give Donnie Walton the chance to receive it on the other end.
Right. You just don't want to be like Fitty or something. Like, you don't want to...
You didn't want to make... Yeah, you don't want to spike center. It. Yeah, you didn't want to make sports center. Right. So.
Lydia was helpful yesterday. Did you guys play some catch, Lydia, or were you guys just coaching?
That's actually from Groz's final day, that pic I posted. We gave him some, I'm sure, very unhelpful pointers.
Nice.
Do you remember when Clayton threw out the first pitch?
No.
So when he threw out a first pitch, let me give you a little insight.
I don't remember.
A little intel.
Clayton threw out a first pitch?
Yes, he did.
That one he did practice for.
Oh, yes, he did. So... When you throw out the first pitch, you come out the little tunnel. We've been out a few times over by the guest dugout, right? There's a tunnel. And they actually have it marked off in the kind of corridor outside the Diamond Club. So you can get a feel for how far it is and everything. And I remember the folks saying, oh, John kept hitting the wall.
Oh, no.
He couldn't. Eventually, like, okay, we're not going to do that because the ricochet, like, uh-uh. So let's just do your best out there. So,
how'd it go?
For JC?
Yeah.
It was short. Yeah,
short.
It was short.
Okay. Which is better?
Quite short.
Joe Rogan or Bill Simmons? And I ask just because the podcast world. Like, they seem to be two of the most popular.
Oh, you're kind of researching the competition.
Yeah, trying to see like what we're up against in this new podcast world. It's new to us.
Joe Rogan from Fear Factor? Like, is that?
Well, yeah, originally from
News
Radio.
I mean, if neither was an option, but I guess you go with Joe Rogan. And Bill Simmons is just so overplayed, uninteresting. He was on PTI the other day. I was like, this guy's the worst. He's got nothing.
It's interesting. Since he had his little... His first sight was a huge hit, right? Then it was went to the NBA.
Grantland, big deal.
Grantland was a huge hit.
He went to HBO, ring, right? He failed big.
Right. He went to the NBA set. That didn't work.
He's a good writer, but on TV, he is awful.
He's as responsible for me wanting to get into this business as anybody.
Wow.
Yeah, when I was soon after college, even in college, I think, like end of college and then soon afterwards.
You were reading Grantland?
He wasn't doing Grantland. He wasn't even at ESPN yet. He was just doing...
ESPN page two.
Before that, he was just the Boston sports guy. He had a blog, and he was Boston
Simmons
sports
was,
guy.
Huh?
Yeah, that's how he got his start. He was just a blogger. He and Mike Felger, who does afternoons in Boston, sort of came up at the Herald together. One guy decided he wanted to go and work in that world and being a writer, and Simmons went the other way. And ended up becoming a blogger. And so his blog was great. Really the first of its kind to talk about sports that way. I know you're right, Kyle, that he's sort of become boorish as he's gotten older. And it's just sort of old news. At Bill Simmons, at the very beginning, before he even went to ESPN, as amazing as anything I've ever read.
Sad scene.
He's the one who first started calling Pete Coach Fredo.
Oh, interesting.
In his world, Bill Parcells was, I think, Sonny. Bill Parcells was Sonny, Belichick was Michael, Carroll was Fredo.
I wonder if he'd have made it as big if he wasn't in Boston.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where else would he have found that audience?
I don't know.
Yeah. Which is better, Nick Vinette or Luke Wilson?
Both unique delivery guys.
Which is better?
Luke Wilson, and it's not even a debate.
Really?
And that says more about Nick Vinette.
Which is better,
he did nothing.
Which is better
nothing.
Right now, though?
Luke Wilson. The unemployed Luke Wilson.
Is still better than Nick Vinette. You're probably right. It's also possible Luke Wilson does nothing, gets cut here in a few weeks, and Ed Dixon comes back. We'll talk about this again.
It's probably likely.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's how bad Nick Vinette was.
How about as a person? How about as a speaker? How about as an entertainer?
I mean, Luke's more entertaining. Nick's over the top, right? He's just kind of got that club-going thing or whatever. They're both fine, though, right?
Really, Techno Tuesday, that's like the day for techno music, but we don't practice on Tuesday, so I just change it to Thursday.
Luke is just a good dude. Mm. And you said it about that Techno Thursday a couple years ago. You're like, you know what? It's a work environment, and you need characters like Luke Wilson.
Gotta have it.
You do?
Yep.
So I'll give you, I'll say Luke on that one.
Since Gambo is going to be joining us later here in the show, which is better? Jokes about the bros in Arizona taking shots, or jokes about the old people in Arizona taking their Rascal Scooter to the games?
Are you going to do the Metamucil thing with Gambo?
I don't know.
You probably should.
We'll bring that back out.
I think.
Which
I think
is better? Jokes about bros in Arizona or jokes about old people?
I'm not comfortable with jokes about the old people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, Gigi and Papa spend half their year down there.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly my point.
Yes.
And you can joke about that, Mike?
Yes.
You got jokes about Gigi?
100%. I got plenty of jokes. I got Gigi jokes for days.
You love Gigi.
I do. Well, I can like these people and still make fun of them. I make fun of you and I love you.
The jokes about the bros
are better?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't mess with my demographic. And we're going to need the 70 plus to text podcast.
This is the worst answer you've ever had, man. Jokes about old people are much funnier than jokes about the bros in Arizona. Those get old in a hurry, and anybody can make those. Which is better? Brock, here's a hard question for you. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Which is better? Brock and Salk version 1, pre-sabbatical, or now that we've got 2 days left?
Wow.
Brock and Salk version 2.0.
Or?
Well, 3.0 is coming. That'll be the podcast.
All right.
Brock and Salk 3.0. A little system update. Which was better now that this one's coming to an end? The first version of 4 years or this version of 5?
Wow.
Which was better or which was more successful?
Well, the first one was more successful.
Yes.
That's a hard one because this one's at a much tougher time slot.
Yeah, that was also 9 to noon.
Right.
You know, where we were number one with ratings Sports World had never seen. I mean, that's 9 to noon. This version is had to tackle Morning Drive.
Which is better?
I'm going to say this version because of this group right here. This
Well, of course you'd say that while everybody's here.
What if Colin Paisley
That was awesome.
Here.
This group of five characters. It wasn't just three. It was five.
Because of
four.
More characters.
Absolutely. Yep. More relationship. More connection, Mike.
Do you include Bunker in this version?
Who?
That's mean. That's not nice.
What?
Do you include Bunker in this version?
Yeah, you have to.
You have to, right?
I mean, he's a chapter in it. Yes.
Right.
He's like the Game of Thrones person that just dies off.
Right.
Right. But look at the five that endure, that last, that are here for the finale.
It's quite a crew. Yes. It's quite a crew.
It is. So I think because of that.
I think this version is better. I think it's actually just a better show.
Mm.
I've thought about it. The first version, I mean, remember, the first year of the first version is awful. Like, it's not even a good show at all.
Well, it almost got canceled.
That's right.
18 months
I almost got fired.
Yep.
Shout out to Lomberg One.
Right.
And then eventually...
Probably should have.
Almost definitely should have. And so, you know, the first year is a lost cause. Second year is just okay. By the third year, the show is pretty good. It's got 2 years of being a good show.
Yep.
This show, I think I've been more proud of.
I would, yeah.
Right?
Agree. Yes.
I'll tell you what, though. Waking up to do 9 to noon, significantly better.
Now, the show in the middle of 1-0 and 2-0 actually won the Super Bowl.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yes.
Yeah. What is that one called? 1.5 or something?
Maybe.
All right. That is Which is Better. Version 3.0 is coming next week. Brock and Salk, the evolution to podcast, as we'll be ending our run here as a daily show. Brock, with too much going on with his college football stuff and family stuff, and I got a new job here in the building as the director of programming for all three stations. So the end of the run for the daily Brock and Salk show. If you would like to stay with us, please do text podcast to 710-710. Text podcast to 710-710. You'll get a bounce back, then write yes. You get another bounce back, click the link, and you have it. You can just press subscribe, and it'll be automatically downloaded to your phone every single Wednesday. Start by texting podcast to 710-710. We will have an announcement tomorrow on the new show that'll be taking our place. Some familiarity, some unfamiliarities. A lot going on here at the station. A lot of changes here over the next few days, and we're pretty excited about how we should sound come Monday. All right, I will still ask Brock three good football questions. It's what I do, and one of them is about an enormously important pick that so far hasn't done anything. It's next on Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U-corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right!
Blue 42 is brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
We'll talk to you guys in a few minutes here, ask you a little bit about your encouragement and discouragement with the Seahawks team so far this year. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. First of all, I'll ask Brock three good football questions, as we do every morning here at 7:45. Brock, and we will start with this. Nick Vinette traded yesterday to Pittsburgh for a fifth rounder. Why? Why didn't it work out for Nick Vinette here in Seattle?
Yeah, I think the opportunity to get value. I think you would hear that from John Schneider and Pete Carroll, and they value fifth-round picks in that draft capital and getting younger guys that are cost-controlled for 4 years, very much like Nick Vinette was for 4 years. And that cost control will expire at the end of this season. Pittsburgh Steelers had a need because John Schneider has relationship with just about everybody in this league, and he is a deal-maker, not a deal-killer. They were able to, I think, come to fairly agreeable terms. I think that's about right. Nick Vinette, is a fifth-round pick in season when a team has a need. As you pointed out, Mike, before, right at the beginning of the show, had Ed Dixon not got hurt, Nick Vinette was likely cut. Likely cut. So the fact that in season you have a team that has a need, like the Steelers, because of injuries to Vance McDonald, you have, I think, a little bit of surplus because you feel like Luke Wilson can step in here, has relationship with the quarterback, knows the system, even though the verbiage is different. There's a lot of the same zone read, a little bit of power run, a little bit of the same concepts, and should be able to be fitting in rather seamlessly. It may even be playing this Sunday. Yeah, you found value, and that is always a big deal to that organization.
All right, question number two. LJ Collier has been healthy for two games. He's only played in one of them. Was a healthy scratch this past weekend. How concerned should we be about LJ Collier?
He's fighting some history here, some recent history. And that would be the Big 12, brother. You know the Big 12, not this last draft in 2019, but in 2018. You know that the Big 12 had one defensive player drafted in the first three rounds of the 2018 draft? One. This year, there were two in the first four rounds. LJ was the highest of which. His buddy, his other defensive end buddy, I believe, went in the late third round. That is it. You're fighting some history. Now, Tom McShay, on with us yesterday, said this about LJ Collier.
I liked him a lot. I gave him a second round grade. I thought he was one of the three or four best players at the Senior Bowl coming out of TCU. And the versatility I love. You can play him inside. You can play him outside. I thought he was a perfect fit. When he was picked by Seattle, I was like, yes, perfect fit. I think he's going to be a good player as long as he can stay healthy.
See, I think that word there is an important word, Mike. I think this is an expectation conversation. I think he can be a good player. I don't think he'll ever be an elite player. And I know with the first round pick, that's what you're thinking. That's certainly what Kyle, I think what some of the perception is, man. When you're a first rounder, it's not about being good. It's about being elite. It's about being one of those star players that we talk about. Like, you've got to be a difference maker. I don't know if his skill set, I don't know if he's dynamic enough to be an elite player. Tom McShay loved him because of his versatility. And in time, he will grow to be able to do a bunch of things. Missing the majority of the camp set him back an awful lot. I'd be careful about expectations and maybe not even putting them on him until the second half of this season, where I do think you'll feel his versatility more than his playmaking.
All right, question number three. It is Washington Wednesday, so we'll be talking Huskies coming up at 8:30, as we always do. But Wazoo's got a big, big, big task ahead of them to try to overcome what happened on Saturday night and to do it at Utah. Well, how do they do that?
Yeah, save for the trip to Seattle for the Apple Cup, which has been a really tough matchup for Coach Leach, I would say this is the worst possible spot they could go to in the conference this weekend. They've beaten Oregon before. They've done it in Eugene. The Beavers are pretty bad. Cal would be a tough matchup in Berkeley. Obviously, they're flying super high, though. Stanford would be a much softer landing. USC, UCLA, Arizona State, Colorado would be softer landings. You are going in to Utah. You played the late game on Saturday night, ended in the early hours of. So you've got a shorter week. Utah's got an extra day. Utah is ticked. They are miffed. They played it pretty tough a year ago. You hit a couple big, big plays. And one of the most critical wins for Gardner Minshew and Wazoo a year ago at home to beat them by a point. This is a violent, really ticked off team. I go into their place, which is, I think, one of the toughest with Seattle and Eugene from an environment. It will be packed. They will want blood. This is a difficult matchup for the Cougs Saturday.
That's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. So Nick Vinette out, gets a fifth-round pick in return. Luke Wilson makes his triumphant return here to Seattle. Yeah, I like Luke, and I'll be curious to see if, like Byron Maxwell, coming back here is good for his career, because he didn't do much once he left. He didn't do too much in Detroit. Mm-mm. He was cut this year in Oakland, didn't do much there. And now, you know, this idea that you're going to get the same Luke Wilson back that he was 5 years ago, I don't know whether that's reasonable. I mean, the league has sort of decided there's not really a spot for him other than here now in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, he's a third tight end.
Right.
Right? He's, you know, a guy that could also be moved here in the next 3-4 weeks. You know, he wasn't on the roster week one, so the deal isn't guaranteed. And I think this is about a personality fit. I think this is about a guy that loved being here. I mean, really did. Loves Pete, loves the guys. And I do think he's a good blocker. He's a willing blocker. You know, he's willing to come down and cut off the backside. He's willing to double team. He's able to block, I think, a little bit better than Nick Vinette is in some of those spots.
I heard the afternoon guys yesterday debating some of the best moments in Seahawks history, right? Is it the tip? Is it the Beastquake? Is it the pass to Jermaine Kearse? You know, is it winning the actual Super Bowl? There's all these sort of great moments. The 2-point conversion to
absurd.
Luke Wilson in the NFC Championship game is by far the most underrated. It's not the best moment because it just sort of leads to the eventual end of that, but it's as crazy as a play gets, right? I mean, it's almost more surprising when you see it. Like, if you watch the replay of that and then watch the replay of the onside kick,
mm-hmm.
I think the Luke Wilson play is more surprising. I mean, Russell's dead to rights over there.
Clinton Dix is a good player. He's still playing in the league. Had a pick this weekend. The kid that had the ball bounce off of him got cut and has never played been in the league.
Right.
So the fact that Ha-Ha Clinton Dix watched that moon ball and then just totally misplayed it, and Luke goes up and plucks it, was incredible.
And you don't win without it. It's impossible. You lose the game.
Correct.
Guaranteed.
Yep.
It's really amazing that occurred. One of the coolest things I've ever been there to see in person. All right, Washington Wednesday, as we mentioned, is coming up here in about a half hour at 8:30.
I got some good stuff there, by the way.
You do?
Yeah, Brian Greasy was on the call of the game and gave me some good tidbits and takeaways he had from it.
Brock, we're about to be a quarter of this way through the NFL season, and the Seahawks still aren't able to do the one thing they want to be able to do most. That's next. I'm Brock and Salk.